Welcome to True Crime with Lux. Who was Arthur Shawcross? Born June 6, 1945, to parents Arthur and Elizabeth Shawcross in Kettering, Maine, the family soon moved to Watertown, New York, where according to Arthur, he was having behavior problems at an early age, saying that he was an bedwetter and a bully. He went on to make allegations that his aunt molested him when he was 9. And he had a sexual relationship with his sister. At the age of 11, he claims that he had his first homosexual encounter and started experimenting with bestiality. His family, however, maintained that he had a normal childhood, and his claims were a product of his imagination. While in school, he was known as a bully and was under suspicion for arson and burglaries. He dropped out in 1960 when he failed the 9th grade due to having a low IQ. Over the next few years, he would continue committing petty crimes, and in 1963, he received his first probationary sentence for smashing a shop window. In 1964, Arthur got married to his first wife, Sarah, and they welcomed a son in October of 1965. But a month later in November, Arthur was put on another probationary charge for unlawful entry, which was the last straw for Sarah. And they got divorced, and he signed over all of his rights to their son. He remarried before he was drafted into the army in 1967 and served one tour in the Vietnam War, claiming he murdered and cannibalized several children and had a combat kill total of 39. However, was determined to all be a lie, and authorities claimed he killed no one while on tour. After his return, his second wife Linda left him because of his disturbing behavior and his need to start fires. She was told by an army psychiatrist that Arthur derived sexual arousal from setting fires. In 1968, Arthur was convicted for an arson attack and sentenced to 5 years, but only served 2. After his release, he returned to Watertown. After a year of being back, Arthur would take the life of his first victim on April 22, 1972. Jack Blake was only 10 years old when he disappeared. A few days earlier, he had gone fishing with Arthur, but when questioned by police, Arthur denied knowing the boy was missing. He then proceeded to get married to his third wife, Penny, who was pregnant with his child. 5 months later, Jack's body was finally found. It was determined he suffocated to death and had been sexually assaulted. The police had no leads at the time. They then found the body of 8-year-old Karen Ann Hill under a bridge. She had been murdered and sexually assaulted. The killer had forced mud and leaves down her throat and inside of her clothes. Witnesses remembered Arthur was with her before her disappearance, making him the prime suspect. He was arrested on October 3rd and confessed to both murders, but due to evidence, was only charged for Karen's. He was sentenced to 25 years, and his wife divorced him after the sentencing. Arthur ended up serving less than 15 years before being released on parole in April of 1987. Due to his crimes, he was unable to settle down anywhere without the public demanding he leave, so the authorities decided to seal his criminal record. Arthur and his new girlfriend were then able to move to Rochester, New York, and get married. He started doing menial jobs to get by, and their relationship started to get boring for Arthur, so he went looking for sex workers and also found a new girlfriend, Clara Neal. A year after moving there, Arthur started killing again. 27-year-old Dorothy Blackburn's body was found on March 24, 1988, in the Genesee River. She had been strangled to death, and bite marks were discovered on her groin area. There was little evidence to find who killed her, and being a sex worker, the police let her case sit over a year. On September 9, 1989, another body was found. Anna Steffen was 28 when she died of asphyxia. Her body was dumped far from the first site, so the police didn't link the two women. Two more women were found in October. Dorothy Keeler, who was homeless at the time of her death, and Patricia Ives, who was a sex worker, were both found asphyxiated in the Genesee River. The press started to notice a pattern and named him the Genesee River Killer. After the press release, police started looking at the cases as being committed by a serial killer and determined that due to the previous bodies being covered, that they were looking for someone with either a criminal record or a military background. They began advising sex workers to be careful and keep an eye out for any information on the killer. The police were able to get a description of a regular client called Mitch or Mike that was prone to violence with the sex workers. They then started looking at people in the area with a criminal record, but due to Arthur having his sealed, he was not a suspect. Then on Thanksgiving Day, 26-year-old June Stott was found. She had been strangled and her body mutilated by the killer. With more victims, the police asked the FBI for assistance in making a profile for who they might be looking for. They were told the killer was a white male in his 20s or 30s who was strong, probably had a criminal record, familiar with the area, and comfortable enough with the victims that they would enter his vehicle without question. The police got a break in the case when the body of 29-year-old Elizabeth Gibson was found in November 27th. A witness said they saw her with the suspect they thought was named Mitch. They began canvassing local bars looking for someone who fit the profile, but came up empty. A pair of jeans were found near the river on December 31, 1989, with an ID belonging to Felicia Stevens, so the police began an aerial search of the area, hoping to find the woman. It wasn't until January 2, 1990, that a helicopter spotted a body on the river. It was identified as 33-year-old June Cicero. Her body had also been mutilated by the killer, nearly cut in half. The helicopter also spotted a man on the bridge next to a van. Notifying authorities on the ground, the police then went to the bridge, but Arthur had sped off before they arrived. They were able to get the license plate and track down the vehicle that was registered to his girlfriend, Clara Neal. When they asked Arthur for his driver's license, he told them he didn't have one and admitted being in jail for manslaughter. Police took him into custody, confident they had the killer. They took his photo and were able to confirm he was Mitch and found out about his sealed record that prevented them from identifying him sooner. Arthur denied the killings at first, until shown evidence of a piece of jewelry he had given Clara that belonged to June Cicero. Police told him they would implicate Clara in the killings. He finally confessed, including two more sex workers whose bodies hadn't been discovered yet, that of Maria Welsh and Darlene Trippi. His confession ended up being 80 pages long. His trial began in November 1990. He was being tried for 10 murders in Monroe County and one murder in Wayne County. The trial was televised and widely viewed. His defense tried to use an insanity plea based off of his childhood, post-traumatic stress from his time in the military, a cyst on his brain, and a rare genetic defect. The prosecution quickly disputed this. He was declared sane and guilty of 10 instances of second-degree murder. He was sentenced to 25 years for each, with a total of 250 years in prison. He was then tried for the murder in Wayne County, pleaded guilty, adding another 25 years. He served his sentence at the Sullivan Correctional Facility in New York State until November 10, 2008, when he complained about a pain in his leg and was taken to the hospital, where he died of cardiac arrest. Thank you for listening, and stay safe.